It's time for Taking Care of Business on Midlands 103. With thanks to the local enterprise offices of Leash, Offaly and Westmeath. Find us on localenterprise.ie and let's talk business.
Midlands 103.
Hello and a very good evening, and you're welcome to Taking Care of Business here on Midlands 103. Coming up on the show tonight between now and 8pm, we're going to celebrate some great achievements by some fantastic Midlands companies. Yes, it is award season, but we're not going to be talking about Oscars. We're going to be talking about Enterprise Awards. Watt Footprint scooped the major prize at the Westmeath Enterprise Office Awards earlier this week. Co-founder Paul O'Reilly will be here to talk about their development in the year since they last won an Enterprise Award over there. I'll also be joined by Patter Coyle from Zeon Healthcare in Mullingar. They're a nutraceutical company and they're currently exporting products to about 7 or 8 different countries, all from their base in Mullingar. They were also winners at the Enterprise Awards during the week. So again, another chance to showcase the great stuff happening around the Midlands. You're also going to hear from a Cupra master. Now, I teased you all last week at the end of the show and said, whatever that is, well, tonight you're going to meet, it's a him. He's a Cupra master and it is a new brand of car that has been sold by Michael Moore Car Sales, a new showroom built in Athlone. So find out all about that very, very shortly. As always, if you want to be part of this evening's conversation, the best way to get me is by text and WhatsApp on 083 3010 103. Always happy to hear what's going on in your world, what your concerns are from a business perspective and, you know, anything else that you want to just get off your chest. If you've got something you'd like to get in touch with on the show, business at email, business at midlands103.com is probably the best way to get to. But before that, as you know, on this show, I am regularly featuring young people doing fantastic stuff, particularly in business circles, whether that's things like the Dream Big program that was created to attract people into more STEM-based subjects and indeed to get them working and focusing on more engineering or software or IT careers. And we've heard great success stories. We recently spoke to Ray Bell from Offaly County Council about the VEX robotics programs too. Again, it's really fostering and cultivating an interest in really, really young school kids at primary school level, right up to TY and even leaving cert level, and showing them what's out there and also maybe opening up and raising awareness for them around career paths and how studying certain subjects and the choices we make in college can also help steer us towards a career, because we don't have just a huge amount of disruption out there and you know, people are changing jobs, changing careers, and kind of keeping abreast of things and upskilling is a constant now and probably more than it ever was. And it's always fantastic to kind of shine a spotlight on what's happening in our schools and what those very young people in our community are doing. So it's a great privilege I have to introduce you to Sean Murphy. He's a fourth-year student from Cloch de Wirra in Mullingar, and he was part of a team that took home the prize for Best Group at the 2024 BT Young Scientist Business Bootcamp. It took place just last week. Now, again, a very select number of students were picked for this camp. They were all parts of winners in the BT Young Scientist Awards, and they're put through an intensive 4-day programme. I'm delighted to be joined by Sean now. Sean, a very good evening and congratulations on this. I suppose before we get to talking about what the boot camp was like and how much they put you under your paces, what was the project that caught the attention of the judges from the BT Young Scientist competition?
Yeah, so our project was titled Anchor, and it involves the creation of an app for early school leavers to find jobs and courses that didn't require Leaving Cert qualifications. And we also did an investigation into early school leavers, and we found that 57% of early school leavers faced mental health challenges, and for 29% of early school leavers, they turned to crime as a direct result of the lack of job opportunities. And we also found a statistic from 2023 that 70% of Irish prisoners were early school leavers who had left before they turned 15. So that really kind of spurred us on to make a project, and it turned out to be the app that would really help break that cycle. So our project was obviously titled Anchor, and we entered it into the social and behavioural sciences category of BT Young Scientist, and we found great success. We came first in the senior group, and we also won the RTE Award for Best Social and Behavioural Project, and we're now going to represent Ireland at Danish Young Scientist in April.
Wow, that's incredible. When you mentioned, say, developing an app, what stage of development were you at with that? Were you at MVP stage, or is it actually operational?
I suppose when we were displaying our app at Young Scientist, it was at a stage where we could put it onto a phone, but not fully kind of publish it onto Play Stores and the App Store. But we had it back-ended. We had a Firestore. We had our computer science knowledge, because our school It's one of the 40 schools to have Leaving Cert as an exam subject for Leaving Cert. And also it's compulsory for the Junior Cert. We have a great STEM team in the school. Our teacher, Miss Acton, she heavily influences every year for people to participate in Young Scientists and also in SciFest and the various STEM-related competitions throughout the year.
Fantastic. It's so crucial to have that mentoring, particularly at school level too. So the project then, was that the same project then that allowed you to take place in the boot camp, or was there a kind of an offshoot of the original one?
So when we went to boot camp, we were split into six groups of five people. And I was lucky to be placed in a group with Ava Gaffney, who is from Ballinamore Community School in Leitrim. And her project was also in social and behavioural. And she had a project that would it examines the bus routes at her local school in Ballinamore to see if they're operating at the top efficiency that they could be. And she came up with a solution. She completely rerouted the Connacht bus system to make it more efficient, both in money-wise, time-wise, and also in terms of the carbon pollution. So I was lucky to be on that team with four other students, and we came first, yeah.
Wow, that's a major achievement there. She basically upended the whole schedule and showed them where they were making loss, or where the losses were, that made it more efficient. Did the companies in that involved, like running the route, did they actually take that information on board?
Yes, she actually is going on to change that. In her local school, she's changing that complete system of bus efficiency. And she hopes the project was to pitch it to the Department of Education. And hopefully they'll take it on board, and hopefully they'll change it to a national scale.
Well, that's fantastic. So take us to the boot camp then. It's a 4-day, very intensive program. And really the goal of it is to sort of work with people like yourselves and begin to see how you can maybe commercialise your ideas. What sort of modules were you studying on that, and what kind of mentors had you in order to kind of give you that information and that education that you needed?
So we were, at the start, we had basic kind of teamwork exercises. And then we moved on to more commercialization and business side approaches. We're doing fun activities, but also activities that would obviously help us, you know, expand our ideas. And we're talked to by lots of people, by mostly past winners, about how they commercialized their ideas and how they brought it into the mainstream, mainstream, I suppose, enterprises, and how they made companies and they made their millions out of it. So we had workshops on patents and our ideas, and also on who the stakeholders would be, on who would like to buy our product, how we would be benefiting off them, and how we would benefit off other people benefiting off our products.
But was that the first time you were exposed to what's often kind of, it's a whole new language, sometimes people say, like a whole new business language? You start hearing all these acronyms and different terms. Was it your first time to hear those terms, and do you think, did you learn that, and did you benefit from it?
Oh, completely. I did business as a compulsory subject in first and second year, and I didn't find myself liking it that much. But when it was shown to me in this real world kind of framework, I really did enjoy it, and I really felt like I did take it on board, and I will take it on board. And it was a new world, but it was also a very exciting one as well.
Yeah, it's often, I think, pointed out by a lot of early stage entrepreneurs that they're missing that side of things, even that language and that awareness about what people may be talking about when it comes to the commercial aspect of your business. So having an idea is one thing, being able to get that language and showcase your idea, speak about it, and then go and find investment or find customers is a huge part of it. So what happens next from this? Will you go back and look at Anchor and take that newfound knowledge and see how you can further develop that? Or are there more projects in the pipeline?
I suppose when we're going to Denmark in April, we'll obviously take on board what we've learned at bootcamp, and hopefully we'll gain the attention of someone who's willing to take it further. And I suppose there are loads of projects. I still have two more years left, so I hope to enter Young Scientists again with maybe more application ideas and take it on board and hopefully make a career out of it maybe.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you're on the right path already. It's an absolute credit to yourself and to everybody involved. And thank you as well for speaking about Ava Gaffney's project there. A major achievement for people so young. And it just goes to show when people are exposed to it and given the right mentoring and nurturing and the right programs as well, great things can happen. So look, we look forward to following your journey, Sean. Thank you so much for talking to me this evening.
And thank you very much.
And undoubtedly, we'll talk again soon. That's Sean Murphy there, a fourth-year student from Colláiste Uaire in Mullingar. great stuff happened, isn't it? And when it's just wonderful to see you starting at that age. Now, when we mentioned school, my next guest, would you believe, was actually in school with me many, many, many years ago. And we had a good laugh this morning saying, who'd have ever thought we'd here be in the studio talking live on the radio? But it's going to happen after this break. He happens to be a Cupra master.
Taking care of business. With thanks to the local enterprise offices of Leash, Offaly and Westmeath. Find us on localenterprise.ie and let's talk business.
Still to come on the show this evening, with it being award season, we're going to celebrate some companies from Mullingar who scooped awards at the Westmeath Enterprise Office Awards earlier this week. Great things happening there. Fantastic stories of growth, of vision and really executing that vision as well. So you're going to hear from Zeon Healthcare and from Watt Footprint on that. But before that, if you look at across the car market, if you've any interest in new cars or even a fleeting interest in cars and models, you've probably noticed over the last couple of years, really short few years, a number of new brands or indeed rebranded cars now on the market. And it can be quite confusing, actually. We hear of so much of an influx of potential influx of Chinese-made vehicles, of vehicles from all over the world. Of course, that's been kind of par for the course. As an island nation that doesn't manufacture cars, we do, of course, import our cars from all across the world. Majority, though, it goes from probably South Africa and from across Europe. The latest brand to have emerged, and it has emerged with a bang over in Athlone, brand new showroom built by Michael Moore Car Sales, is Cupra. I'm delighted to be joined now by David Kavanagh. David is a Cupra master. Now, a Cupra master, according to the website, is somebody, a brand expert trained in the Cupra factory in Spain, on hand to demonstrate the Cupra Formentor and the rest of the Cupra range in exclusive Cupra area. There's a lot of Coopers in that. So you've had extensive training in this, David. What is a Cupra master?
So Cupra like to do things a little bit different. We don't have sales managers. We go with Cupra masters and we go with Cupra experts. Our Cupra expert is in our service department and our Cupra master is in our sales department. We have extensive training, an awful lot of training, but it's good. It's fun. It introduces you to a lot of the brand and new ways of selling through social media, through finance, and it is really intense, and it's really, really good fun.
You've been a number of years in the car trade at this point. Well, you mentioned social media, COVID, the pandemic, was that one of these things that really changed the way cars are sold? Are people much more open to looking at cars online now? Are we kind of slowly getting back to face to face and go in and actually open the doors and kick the tires, so to speak?
So, yeah, COVID did change an awful lot. And I remember selling vehicles for 20 and 30,000 over the phone. So you were sending people videos of vehicles and they were buying it from your word. We were putting them on the back of a truck and having them delivered. And you were taking their trade-ins. It was quite odd and quite strange. And it was brilliant in a way. But there's nothing like having the person in the showroom in front of you. There's nothing like letting the person test drive the vehicle. And it's a different way of falling in love with a car.
I suppose when it is a relatively new brand, a name that people may not be that familiar with yet, probably more important than to be able to get them there, you've built a new purpose-built showroom as well. Tell us about the brand. Who and what is Cupra?
So Cupra is short for Cup Racing. It is a Spanish and German company, part of the Volkswagen Group, and very proud of their history in Barcelona. They have two vehicles that are built in Spain, the Cupra Leon and the Cupra Formentor. They have a Cupra Ateca, which is built in the Czech Republic, and the fully electric Born, which is built in Germany. So all of their vehicles are built within Europe at the moment. As I said, they're part of the Volkswagen Group, so we've got the standard warranty that you would expect from the German brand, which is 3 years, 90,000 kilometres on the vehicles and 8 years, 160,000 kilometres on the batteries. We've got great backup service. Everything is in place to make this brand a success, and Cupra and the Volkswagen Group are going to make it a success.
What do you think is then, the target market for the car, and are you also trying to tailor that towards what people are looking for now? I guess that's a question around transmission. Are people looking for fully electric? Is hybrid maybe a better option for people in the Midlands? Or are people maybe craving and harping for a good old-fashioned diesel or petrol car?
So the question that I get every day of the week is, so are all these vehicles electric? And people are shocked when I tell them that I've only got one fully electric vehicle.
What?
So we do have petrol.
Now,
we,
you mean one brand, one model type, not just one vehicle.
Well, they're not also allowed just yet. We're working on it, but... So, yes, the Cooper Born is a fully electric vehicle. It's a 58 kilowatt battery and it will do approximately 427 kilometres on the charge, slightly less in real world. But I have petrol, I have diesel and I have plug-in hybrid. The plug-in hybrid is a gateway to fully electric vehicles. They are brilliant. They're all automatic. They're all petrol and you can plug it in and get, you know, for approximately 45 kilometres out of battery. It then turns into a petrol hybrid, so that 45 can increase depending on the type of driving you're doing. We have manual and automatic. Again, as I said, Cooper are determined to make this a success, and that's why they have everything pretty much that you can buy. You can buy a manual diesel, which is not available in a huge amount of brands. You can buy an automatic as well. So they've taken off a lot of the boxes.
Yeah, that's interesting, I suppose. Looking externally, you would say from a manufacturing perspective, does that make it more expensive if you're making them with various different types of transmission on it? But clearly, you know, I think it was a Toyota recently said they're revising, I think, their strategy of being entirely electric by 2030. They're looking at more hybrids too. So do you detect maybe a change out there? Are people maybe kind of going, well, what's wrong with a diesel or petrol for another 5-10 years maybe?
Well, I question whether we will ever go fully electric or how long it will take for us to go fully electric across all cars. Cupra have a plan to transform into an electric brand. They've got two new fully electric vehicles coming next year and they've got another plug-in hybrid vehicle coming. So that's the Urban Rebel and the Tavascan are the two fully electric, and the Terramar, which is a plug-in hybrid with a longer range than the current one can do. So we are moving towards electrification, but I think it will take a little bit longer than the 2030 mark that the Irish government had in their head. They wanted 1 million Irish vehicles on the road by 2030, which was 100,000 cars a year for 10 years. And let's just say we're 4 years into that.
I think even the infrastructural project to deliver that and to guide on that. You know, I mean, I know a work colleague comes from Limerick and he was coming up to the Midlands for a meeting last week and his biggest concern was like his wife is due a baby very shortly and he was bringing a Volkswagen electric car and his concern was, well, if I get an emergency call, I'd have to go and what if I have to stop in Moneygall to recharge? So he decided to join the meeting virtually, which I think made sense. And again, another benefit from COVID, we've learned how to live that as well. People hear you mentioning names like the Leon and the Ateca as well, which people probably identify as being a SEAT car too. So what's the linkage there then? Is Cupra, it's a sporty version of a SEAT effectively, is it?
So the very first Cupra was a SEAT Ibiza. It was a 285 brake horsepower sports car. And Cupra is very, very fond of a sporty 300 brake horsepower high powered car. So they're involved in the Formula E as well, but they have a heritage of having sporty cars. They want to push towards electric, but this is where it comes from. So effectively, yes, it is part of the Volkswagen Group, just like SEAT, but they are moving. My best-selling vehicles are the Cooper Born and the Cooper Fermenter, which were never available in a SEAT and never will be. And going forward, our best-selling vehicles are going to continue to be that way.
You know, it's clearly Michael Moore's, so, you know, a great potential in it with the investment they've put in over there too. From people, in terms of people approaching to buy cars, are you noticing a lot of people looking at, say, finance through the garage or through the car deal, the car branding, or bringing in their own personal finance, or PCPs continuing to rise and rise?
So Volkswagen are very, very successful with PCP, the Volkswagen Group, and this is going to continue with Cupra. I sell an awful lot of vehicles on PCP. It's a 3-year term, and it once you get into the cycle, you just tend to continue. I found people who buy electric vehicles are coming back to buy another electric vehicle because they find it works for them. But definitely the Volkswagen Bank is a very, very strong partner to have in retaining customers and getting people over the line. So 0% finance on some vehicles, 2.9% on others. It's a very, very strong offering.
And there is a Cupra, I think, in the Bridge Centre in Tullamore at the minute. I think it's catching people's eyes when you walk past it as well. So there's a nice branding, there's a nice badge on them. They're really interesting. So big things expected overall.
Yeah, so we have two vehicles currently in the Bridge Centre at the moment. We had two outside Golden Island for a month there in January. The biggest thing we have at the moment is to get people know that Michael Moore sells Cupra in Athlone, and that we're here, we want to sell cars, and let it be known that we sell petrol, we sell diesel, we sell plug-in hybrid, and we sell electric.
Where can people find you if they want to learn more about them?
So mmcs.ie is Michael Moore's website, and I will share my personal mobile phone and email address on anything that you put up on social media over the next couple of days.
There we go now. So yeah, and your home address and the hours that we can contact you at as well. David, sounds fantastic. All the very best to yourself and everybody in Michael Moore's with that. And really interesting to hear the alternatives that are there and the options for people to check out the models too. And maybe it might be just something to catch people's interest. And also nice too as well to hear the cars that maybe are manufactured closer to home and on the continent of Europe as well, because all that's going to change anyway. I think there's going to be a huge flood of different types of vehicles in. So thank you for coming to us today and talking about Cupra, and all the best with that. Time now for another quick break. After that, you're going to meet some of the winners from the Westmead Enterprise Awards, two fantastic companies based in Mullingar, doing absolutely great things as well. Find out what that is just very, very shortly.
Taking care of business, with thanks to the local enterprise offices of Leash, Offaly and Westmead. Find us on localenterprise.ie and let's talk business.
This week saw a culmination of a huge round of events that took place all across last week, actually, for Local Enterprise Week 2024. Again, a chance for the enterprise offices across Leash, Offaly, Westmeath to really showcase what they can do for assisting companies, early stage entrepreneurs, and helping people in pre-existing companies as well to further develop business ideas, concepts and to grow businesses. They do a huge service to many businesses across the Midlands, many of whom and regularly who feature on this show. Just last week you would have heard Richard Marles from Parklife, who had appeared on Dragon's Den in the UK recently, again paying a glowing tribute to the staff at Westmead Enterprise Office for the support they had given him as he builds his company and moves on to kind of new pastures with Enterprise Ireland and starts looking at world domination. Well, looking at world domination is certainly something that one of our next guests will be talking about very shortly. He's Padraig Coyle from Zeon Healthcare. They were one of the winners at the Westmead Enterprise Awards this week. The company that took home the main award on the day was What Footprint. Now, if I cast your mind back to April last year, their co-founder Paul Mahon was on with me. And really what started out as speaking about energy savings and energy audits with buildings turned into a conversation about digital twinning and software development. So wasn't where I was expecting the conversation to go. I'm delighted to be joined this evening, though, by Paul O'Reilly, one of the other founders of the business. Paul, very good evening to you and congratulations on the latest award.
Thank you very much, Ronan. Delighted to be.
Yeah, just pull that microphone aside. There we go. Now,
perfect.
Yeah, great achievement again, and building on the back of last year's success as well. I sort of mentioned there about digital twins and software development. Where are you with that now, and what has happened over the past year with What Footprint?
Very good. Yeah, I suppose in the last year we've doubled our team, which is a key thing for us, because the team is a very smart team, and we've developed out an app, and we've certainly developed out our digital twinning, and the business now is much more user-friendly. We can dig deep into people's energy bills. We've got a lovely software platform that our clients can log into. And I suppose the business is much more user-friendly today than it had been. And a lot of that came about with the supports from the local enterprise office in terms of what we call an agile fund, which was R&D. So today, a business is very easy to use, plenty of customers. And I suppose you could say that we're now able to make energy savings simple for businesses.
Yeah, Paul, back then, the other Paul gave us outline examples of the savings that were made as well. And I think even got people thinking about where the biggest savings can come that often people overlook. They think maybe the quick wins are changing a heating system or recladding a building, but your systems allow people to dig a lot deeper and see where the real energy losses are occurring.
Yeah, I mean, one of the very simple things about our business is by making the electricity and making the energy a little bit more visible, people themselves can save energy, and often at a very no cost and low cost value. The most cost effective unit of energy you'll save is the unit you don't use. But that's much more possible when you can see that. And our digital platform allows us to do that, allows us to make it visible to our clients. And I suppose we're taking the power away, in a sense, from the utility companies, who like to make things a little bit complex and a little bit more difficult to understand. We make it easy for clients to understand. So when they switch something off, with our equipment, they can see an immediate saving. And that encourages them to do it more often. It might only be simply turning off fans when they're not needed, turning off systems when they're not needed, particularly for businesses. And those savings have a tremendous quick advantage. We can then dig very deep into this. For instance, we have a hotel that we were involved in here in the Midlands, and we cut their gas usage by 50%. Not necessarily the price, but the cost was, we have a shopping centre in Athlone, and we cut the energy usage by 45%. Now, they will be high. But it can go all the way up from 5%, 10%, all the way up to those type of figures, such as the level of wastage. And I mean, we ourselves are always a little bit more surprised, or as surprised as businesses are, with the amount of wastage that happens. But it's that being able to dig deep into that technology that enables us to see, but more importantly, enables our clients see the wastage. And they're the people who actually turn off the usage.
Those higher figures you quoted there, was that pre the Russian invasion of Ukraine, when a real focus came on the actual cost of energy, or were they able to established before that period?
The first one was, in terms of the hotel, was a 50% saving in actual energy use. Now, the energy mightn't have got, sorry, it was the energy usage. In other words, kilowatts were halved in the gas usage. So obviously at the high point, that meant they made tremendous savings. In other words, when the price of gas went up. And equally in the loan situation, again, it's related to the usage rather than the price. Yeah. So if you're reducing the usage, that one of the sentences in our own business is, you know, when it comes to something like solar panels, we would always try and cut the usage before we'd generate renewable energy. Because if you can cut the usage by, say, 25% and then introduce 25% of solar panels, you're down 50%. So yeah, we're always talking about getting it, you know, reducing before you introduce renewables.
Yeah, those numbers will catch attention from anybody listening, I can imagine. Yeah. When it comes to looking at sectors that maybe you work closely with, are there any sectors that are emerging as maybe a big client base for yourselves, or is it largely spread across all industries?
For us, we find the hospitality industry is particularly focused, and that's from hotels to restaurants, but particularly hotels, and most of the hotels with the, you know, they're really pretty much 24/7. Industry, 24/7 business, particularly with leisure centres, heating and cooling conditions. And in most cases, when their hotel was built, they weren't familiar with what the mechanical and electrical systems were on that premises. So with our equipment, we can dig in and dig deep and tell them exactly where the money is being spent. So when they see what's happening with pools, leisure centres, jacuzzis, saunas, heating conditioners, and they see the cost, not the usage, it's very easy for them to make decisions. And that's really why, you know, from one good case study to the next, the referral within the industry is finding us our work. And the second area is really the restaurants and cafes, who again have very high energy usage, refrigeration, lights, cooling, fans, all of the motors and fans and pumps and pipes that are running. And a lot of the times those pumps and pipes and fans are oversized. We simply put in the correct size, so we can often reduce the figures by nearly up to 50% by just reducing the fan sizes.
So again,
they can be simple wins.
Sectors that really have faced a challenging couple of years in a big regard. But for kind of initiatives like that, then, is there actually government funding or SEI funding that's available to allow companies take that leap? Because, you know, you can clearly see that an investment now into, you know, engaging your services and reducing that energy usage will pay, but that will come at a cost as well. So is there grant schemes that can help businesses with that?
There certainly are. And I must say, this country is quite good at delivering grant schemes. We have quite a few grant schemes in the country. And they can vary from, you know, from a 30% grant all the way up to a 50% grant, considerable figures. And they can go down to small grants for the SMEs, down to £5,000, £10,000. For just small kind of menu type stuff, that if you change a heat pump or you change lighting or you put in meters, you can just access some of the smaller grants, and they're light touch. So we'd always, you know, one of the things that we'd do is we'd help our clients navigate those grants, source those grants, and then deliver the projects, and then sign and verify the savings when they're completed. But there are plenty of grants out there, and the grants nearly cover all businesses.
Yeah, it's just a case of, again, having that lens. I mean, if somebody knows how to navigate them and draw them down and stuff is huge as well. Paul's going to stay with us as well, but I'm going to bring you to the conversation now. We're going to completely switch and go to Nutraceuticals, the company is Zeon Healthcare in Mullingar. And Padder Coyle joins me now. Padder is the General Manager at Zeon Health. Padder, congratulations as well. You finished as runners-up this year, but there are great things, even better things coming, I think, for you as well. What are Nutraceuticals?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Ron. Good evening to your listeners. So Nutraceuticals, it's the pharmaceutical, it's the name given to pharmaceutical made vitamin supplements that are made of pharmaceutical manufacturers in a pharmaceutical way that you put out into the marketplace in pharmacies. So I guess it's a fancy marketing term really that's been put on this whole range. And, you know, pharmacies up and down the country are awash with all sorts of brands and vitamins and supplements, and ours are made to the highest grade by country manufacturers right across both Ireland and Europe in that pharmaceutical GMP certified plant. So, yeah, it's nutraceuticals.
When did you first spot the opening in the market to produce products like this?
I've come from very much a prescriptive background. So I spent 10, 15 years in companies like Wyatt, Pfizer, AstraZeneca. So all of that is about prescriptive. So it's all about the treatment rather than preventative. And I thought there must be a better way to do all of this, right? And I started with a company in pharma back in 2018 and spotted there was definitely a channel there in retail pharmacies where the pharmacist in particular was recommending products that didn't need to be on script or didn't need to be on prescription by a GP. I thought there must be a better way of doing all this. So we started with the brand MacuSave. That's our hero product. And we're very lucky that our products have a footprint in most pharmacies right across Ireland and fast becoming the UK, which is great. MacuSave is our hero product. It's a once-a-day food supplement for eye health. We have MyPro Diacare, which is a probiotic and electrolyte for kids from the age of 3 years and upwards that experience tummy bugs, diarrhea, vomiting, that type of thing. MyPro Colicare, which is a product for kids that suffer from colic. There's 60,000 babies born every year. Half of them suffer from colic, and luckily, three babies at home never had colic. But
we got away as well.
Yeah, I hear it's a tough place to be in. So, MyPro Colicare is a scientifically backed probiotic that reduces episodes of crying within the first 7 days, which is fantastic for the mom and dad as well as the baby. And then our most recent product we have is an acquisition deal we done last year for a brand called Human and Kind. And Human and Kind is a cosmetic brand that for the female demographic for body washes and moisturisers post and pre-shower. So it's a really good brand. The brand went into liquidation itself last year. We've managed to pick it up, acquire it, and we've big plans for the brand both in Ireland and internationally.
In terms of the R&D then and actually developing these products and that, is that all done in-house by Xeon?
Done in-house by Xeon, but we've a great team of scientists and technicians that we use in our contract manufacturing, so they have the skill set, the technical know-how to do it. Like if I give you the example of MacuSave, it's a soft gel capsule. It's smaller than 1 cent coin and it comes in a soft gel format. In that, there's three carotenoids, lutein, mesosies, antic, zeaxanthic, vitamin B2 and vitamin E. There's just an awful lot of technology in that. And on top of all that, the lutein is a florid low lutein, which is basically the best lutein that you can get in the planet. And we've put all that into MacuSave. So the capabilities to do that is with a German manufacturer for ourselves. So we get them to really, really go after that piece and they produce a fantastic product for us. And they have the technical know-how and the science and the research behind it. And then it's backed then by our own technical know-how in-house to put the brand out in the marketplace.
All of this is headed in Mullingar, but your distribution now takes in, I think the list is at least 10 or 12 countries at this point as well. So, I mean, you are really looking at the global market.
It's time to scale it for sure. Like Ireland's great, you know, Paul, it's a small country, Ireland as well. So we'll get the real honey out of it, I guess, if you can go internationally with it. And we're lucky our biggest customer is the UK. And MacuSave is in Holland and Barrett. I think it's their biggest selling eye supplement in Holland and Barrett. We're in Superdrug, we're in Wells Pharmacy, we're in Boots, Amazon in the UK. So the UK can really sort of make it for you. And then we've international footprints in Portugal, in Greece, Malta, Netherlands, Ukraine, Pakistan and Dubai. So we definitely know there's a marketplace for our brands now, so it's about scaling up and getting the right partner in these countries to really go at it.
When did it all start?
I guess 2018-ish, the concept idea. But our first PO, was just looking there, was February 21, so 3 years ago.
Because that's a relatively short window from, you know, a concept to developing products like this to then getting on the market and scaling at that rate.
Yeah, and you know what, I'm sort of a bit... I'd love it if it was twice the growth it was at the minute, to be honest, you know. So the next 3 years, I really have high aspirations for the brands and where we can go. So it can happen quick enough, you know. So I think you're sort of saying it's an overnight success in terms of that. But a lot of work, and it's the team behind me as well, Ronan. Like we've 7 people now that work in Xeon. Last year it was 3. So just the ability to scale up the business and the structure has been great. And a team of 7 really good people there that are just putting a shoulder to the wheel. They know what the vision is for Xeon. We're all on board for that. And we're just great.
I'm going to ask you a nasty question before the break then. What's the vision? Are you looking at an exit plan in a couple of years? Like, are you looking to build this to a scale and then sell? Or is it something that you reckon you can make a huge dominant global brand from?
Yeah, make the dominant brand. Like, really what I want is a brand that's going to be a household name. I want people, when they think of MacuSave, or they think of iHealth, they think of MacuSafe, whether that be in Ireland, in the UK, that is the plan. Same goes for Human and Kind. It's got a great name, but I want that just to really scale that up and make that one of the most sustainable brands out there. Because it's an Irish brand, it's Irish manufactured for an Irish company. No, it's vegan free, 100% natural. Go to humanandkind.com for any of your listeners and you'll see a great story that we have there. But we want that brand to be international, and we think we've got the right way about it.
Yeah, it certainly sounds like there's a market and a need and desire for it out there. Patter's going to stay with us as well, indeed, as will Paul. After a break, we're going to look into, you know, exactly how the Utilise Enterprise Office supports as well, and how that can help a company progress too, and learn a little bit more about these two fantastic Mullingar-based companies, Zeon Healthcare and Watt Footprint. So talk to you all very, very shortly.
Taking care of business, with thanks to the local enterprise offices of Leash, Offaly and Westmeath. Find us on localenterprise.ie and let's talk business.
I'm joined in studio by Patter Coyle, General Manager of Zeon Healthcare in Mullingar. And just before the break, Patter was telling a fascinating story there about their product development, natural kind of nutraceutical products now be distributed right across the world as well, all manufactured in Ireland or in the UK and across Europe, distributed of course from that hub in Mullingar. Also joined by Paul O'Reilly, the co-founder of Watt Footprint, and they were the winners of the Westmeath Enterprise Office Awards earlier this week. And Paul, I suppose I'll come back to yourself on this one. You mentioned the start there, like, I mean, organisations like our local Leo's, they can provide such a huge range of supports to local companies. You mentioned particularly the Agile Innovation Grant, a grant I actually have first-hand experience myself on, a fantastic opportunity for companies, one that is relatively easy to draw down when it comes to funding, when it's utilised properly. What did you draw it down for, and what were the main kind of gains from it?
Mm-hmm. Well, in the first instance, we had one of the key things we knew we needed to do in the business was to automatically read electricity bills. Sounds complex. We thought it was something that might take us a couple of years to do. And in speaking with Tracy Tallon in the local enterprise office in Westmeath, and we told her what our mission was, and she said, well, why don't you try the Agile grant? And hadn't heard of it at that stage. And basically, she took us through the process. So we were able to draw down €50,000 to help us put that plan in place. That allowed us to hire a software specialist within the business. And effectively, the software specialist, who's still here today, developed that software for us. So it wasn't, we didn't pay a consultant or an outside person, we brought it in-house. And I'm not saying it was light touch, we had to produce all the documentation and produce the plan, but we were helped across the line with being able to do it. And certainly you don't have to know a lot about the process, because in fairness to the Leo representatives, they'll take you through that process. So that was a tremendous starting point for us, and that's really has helped to rocket ship this business going forward into our being able to set up an app for real-time energy management.
Yeah, and as you said, they're kind of allow you to keep it in-house, keep that close control on it, that you're not sort of outsourcing it somewhere and are taking the, what some people think was the easy route and outsource it somewhere, you know, the far end beyond, and actually have no control over it. And the fact that that developer is still with you is a huge credit. Any other grants that you found particularly useful in the course of development?
Yeah, I might say we went a second time for a second Agile, and then we took on, we currently have three in the R&D section. And the second grant was worth £125,000. Much more stringent, obviously. We had a little bit more interface with Enterprise Ireland on it. But effectively, again, the Leo's helped us to navigate that process. And that has really, you know, that has allowed us to prepare. We have a launch now next week in the RDS at the Energy Show with the launch of a new data collection device that was made in-house by our team, which has been manufactured in China. Which will be on display next week. And that was a tremendous achievement. And again, it wasn't even in our sights to do it so early in the business. But those supports have just basically enabled us to make tremendous progress.
I mean, that's a game changer, not just for yourselves, but even for Mullingar, for the Midlands region. Like, to know that that's happening and there's supports there for it, but it's happening and it's Midlands people driving that is amazing.
Absolutely. And I think one of the beauties of it is we have a team that can sit in Mullingar and monitor businesses in the UK and in the UAE. We have a number of businesses in Dubai that we can now monitor from people sitting in Mullingar. And you'd never step in the country because the information is flowing back and the intelligence is flowing back. And that just makes it a game changer for us.
And you mentioned there Enterprise Ireland as well, kind of maybe the relationship growing with them. There's clearly an export market for you that you probably see great potential in as well. And I think sometimes people maybe don't realise that in the past year, the brief that the local Leo's have has vastly expanded as well. And there's more opportunities for companies to avail of maybe bigger grant funds as well. I think that for anybody listening, it's important to know that too. But you see yourselves, I mean, obviously, there's a global market out there potentially for your stuff then.
Completely. I mean, for us, the beauty of this particular business we have is that the kilowatt hour, which is a unit of electricity, unit of energy, transcends boundaries, borders, countries and cultures. So it's the same unit across the globe, and the same unit measured in the metrics of climate change and carbon emissions. So it's a fundamental metric that we use, and it's the cornerstone of the business. So we can take this business anywhere, and it's the same unit. So, I mean, in terms of the supports from Leo, just one point maybe worth noting is that they used to be under 10 people. That's now expanded up to 50 people. And that enables companies like us to stay with the Leos until such time as we would need to and want to migrate to the Enterprise Ireland.
Yeah, because I often heard it said it was a crucial juncture for a lot of companies. Maybe they were gone over 10 employees, they weren't quite ready to be the exporter, and they were kind of left in a bit of a limbo. Yeah. That's now gone, and we can see the benefits of that as well. Pather, from yourselves with Zeon Healthcare, you can put down that spoon for a minute. We've all had enough medicine for now. What sort of supports did you first look into? And a bit like Paul, what were the ones maybe that might have caught you by surprise and really gave you that, became a springboard to you?
But actually, we started the other way around. We started with Enterprise Ireland and got in with them just as a one-man band. But very quickly, they were like, no, you're not for us. You may go back to Leo, not knowing who Leo were, and probably discounted them maybe at the start, to be honest with you. But then very clearly, once we got in and we could see what was there, there was lots of available funds and support there. We worked with Irene Lynch over there in Westmead and Leo, and I think one of the first supports we got was the TAME grant. TAME, for anyone that wants to Google it. And basically it means for any international exhibitions you're going to, you can get $2,500 to go to that. So it's not to make or break, but it just gives you the wind and encouragement to just go and do it. And we've got 3 TAM grants now from Leo. And the last one we got there was for an event over in London, an optical show. And like, we were sitting right, our stand was maybe $10,000 or something. Like, they're not cheap to go to, but the stand beside us was $250,000. And you're with the big boys, you're punching up at the big boys, you know. Yeah. They don't know who you are, where you've come from. But it's great to be in that place and for those international customers to be going by you and thinking of you in the same vein, you know. So it does give you good support from that. So that was the TAM piece. We got a priming grant from Leo that helped us hire a new employee, a pharmacy trainer to go out and educate all the pharmacies across Ireland and all our great products. We got a marketing funding in there. And then we recently got a grad start funding, which has been fantastic. But it gives you half the salary of a graduate coming out of college. They have to be out of college less than 4 years, I think it is. You can put them into the business, and somebody coming out of the college that you can really mould into the person you want to be. So you've just hired somebody for that who's going to look after our human and kind portfolio.
Yeah. What's really interesting, actually, and Paul touching again, we spoke about that expansion of their brief, but also for like both your companies, very much in sort of service and energy savings, but even in sort of the nutraceuticals as well. People maybe in the past would not have associated Leo clients with those types of businesses. It showcases that it's open for everybody there. So that's your next order coming through, Pather, yeah?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
So again, it showcases that like anybody that has a company, irrespective of the background they're in or the venture they're looking at, there really is an opportunity there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the things that we found was that, like that, the broad sweep of supports that are out there and even external mentoring that's available. So really, I mean, I think any business that's considering starting up, or any entrepreneur that's considering getting involved in a new business, first step has to be local enterprise offices.
Yeah, you're clearly showcasing the benefits. For yourselves, Paul, you roll on to, I think, is it a Mansion House in May for the National Awards as well again. And Westmead has had huge success in the last couple of years, talking about companies like Bevcraft who've scooped the National Award as well. So big shoes to fill.
Absolutely, yeah. And we if we can nominate anything like the success of Bevcraft, we'll be doing very well.
Absolutely, yeah. No, the guys are, again, they're fantastic business based over there too. And for yourselves, Pather, I mean, you've already given us fairly ambitious targets there in terms of where you're going as well, but you probably see that headcount, you know, expanding rapidly over the coming years.
Yeah, we do. And I suppose it's not all about the jobs. Like, you shouldn't just be measured on it. Like, we're on 7, like, and I think we're predicted to maybe be at 20 employees over the next few years. But for us right now, it is about the brands and about the products, you know. Like, right now with Human and Kind, all our efforts are really about how can we make this the most sustainable product for the end user. And Paul's obviously touching in terms of like the energy piece and everything like that, and making that whole sustainable journey very important. So we're going to try and do that now with Human and Kind and make this the most sustainable product for the end user that they can use it for their own personal use at home. So that's where our focus is right now, is in the product and in the R&D. And I think we're going to utilize some of the agile funding that Paul talked about for the products and what we can do really to develop those internally, you know.
Absolutely, yeah. Huge, huge opportunities as well. But look, to you both, thank you so much for taking the time to come over here to the studio this evening as well, telling your stories. And undoubtedly, people hear it. It inspires them. It inspires them to take action too. And it's an absolute credit. All the very best as you move forward. Looking forward to following these stories and continuing to do so as well. But both Paul and Pather, thank you so much for that this evening. So there you go. Another fantastic example of what companies in the Midlands are doing and the vision they have, and no doubt they're going to go and achieve that vision as well based on what we've heard there this evening. Thank you for listening. Hopefully you enjoyed my talk with Cooper Master, and what a great start to the show as well with Sean Murphy, the young student from Mullingar, who again achieving great things, having been through a BT Young Scientist Bootcamp. And really, isn't that it? We've got to start at that age and create that next round and that next generation of entrepreneurs and business leaders for the Midlands. We're in safe hands, I think, anyway. That's it for me. I'm going to pass you over to another pair of safe hands after 8 o'clock. Joe Cooney will be here with Country Roads. Stay safe, have a great week, and I'll talk to you all next week.
Taking Care of Business returns next Tuesday at 7 p.m. with the local enterprise offices of Leash, Offaly and Westmeath. Find us on localenterprise.ie and let's talk business.